So I think people will be trickling in
Yeah,
after they
totally.
finish their lunch or their naps. I'm not really sure. So Penny, you want to go ahead and welcome everybody, and then we can introduce Stephanie, who's going to have the floor
I
the
guess
majority of this hour, and I'll
who's
introduce her and Steve.
559? Who is that? With the 559 area code. Just
It's probably maybe Carmen.
that there'd be soon any dogs.
Actually, that's me, Jan.
Oh,
Well,
hi,
I
Jan.
actually want to. Carmen's here too now. iPhone.
Okay, thank you.
I like the names changed because then I know who to talk, ask questions, but that's okay. We'll call your name.
I don't think if I'm not the
You're
host, I
not the
can't do
host.
it.
It has to be the host that does it. Okay,
Okay.
I want to say
Okay.
hi to everybody and thank you, Jan and Carmen, for coming. There's Allie, Jamie, Stephanie, Diane, Robert, awesome, Roger, and Steve. That's who's here right now, Jamie.
Pardon me?
That's who's here right now. Those
So
anybody else
far.
trickling in will be great. Now, I'm gonna have well, and I'm Penny. I'm the president of CCCLV. I will be leaving in the end of June, but
As president.
I will be the past president then. Anyhow, Jamie's going to introduce our speaker, and I'm going to give her a great thank you, Jamie, for working hard at getting our speaker and everyone here today. Thank you. It's all
Of
yours.
course.
It's all yours.
I'm like the squeaky wheel,
Yeah, you're well
or I
oiled.
can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so welcome everybody. So yes, our guest speaker today is Stephanie, and I believe, and tell me if I say it wrong, is it Zabitz?
It's
Z
Zabitz, long A.
Zabitz.
Zabitz, yeah, long A.
Gotcha. Thank you for correcting me.
No problem.
She comes to us from Guide Dogs for the Blind, which is GDB. She's out of the San Rafael location here in California. And she is coming in to do a presentation on the immersion program. And I'm sure at some point we'll be, also learning about the guide dog programs because they go hand in hand. She is the comms and GDMI Senior O&M Pro. And we need a lot of those. We need a lot of O&Ms in California and surrounding areas. And basically, just without reading her bio, could somebody mute, please? Thank you. All right. And then I hope you all had a chance to read her bio, but I just pulled out a little bit so she could tell you more about herself. She is in San Rafael. She started with GDB in 2007. As a where's my note? An apprentice. Yeah, there it goes. An apprentice. And as she was working on her master's of special ed, I believe she's a master of all trades. She's been a lot of 2007. Woo, you're coming up to a 20 year.
Yes.
Congratulations. That's
Thank you.
awesome.
Yeah.
And also, we have Steve Melendez. I believe they may know each other.
Yes, we
Steve
do. Hi,
was a
Steven.
student, and he resides in Bakersfield, actually. And he's agreed to come on here and, if you have to give us a little bit about his perspective, once Stephanie is there, and get a student's perspective of going through the program. And then, of course, Q and A's. Just to give you a little bit of housekeeping, we do have a membership meeting at 3 o'clock following this. So I will be leaving the Zoom at about 2:50. But that doesn't mean the meeting's over. You guys all stay together, and enjoy the rest of the Q&As at that time, I'm sure. And Penny will stay on until about that 3 o'clock mark. But you're welcome to stay and get more Q&As. Don't feel like you have to rush. Okay? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself and give Stephanie the floor. And again, we really appreciate you taking this time on a Saturday to come join us. And I know there's a lot of people who are very excited to learn about this program that most of them didn't even know about.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that so much, and I'm just thankful that the California Council of the Blind invited me and just representing this program. I really appreciate too that your conference kind of theme this year is Beyond Barriers, and I think, a big part of having our O&M immersion program is trying to break some barriers that are going on out there, and thinking of the broader community. And again, just grateful to represent on that. So, yeah, thank you. I think it sounds good. We'll try to save questions to the end, and I'll try to get through my content very quickly. And I love that Steven's here. I also recognize, I think Deborah is here as well. She also was another participant, so they're going to have great perspectives of their personal experiences. So the Orientation and Mobility Immersion Program is one of Guide Dogs for the Blind's three core programs. Obviously, what we're known for is guide dogs. That's one program. Orientation and Mobility Immersion Program is another program, and our Canine Buddy is yet another program. So I'm going to cover what is the O&M Immersion Program. Why did we create it? How have we accomplished this? Maybe dispel some myths about the program and what our future holds, and like who is eligible and who can benefit. So, the O&M Immersion Program is a concentrated experience designed to develop foundational O&M skills and teach strategies essential for guide dog travel. I would even add, it shouldn't matter whether someone might have a guide dog travel goal or not. These skills are so important for the community to feel more confident in how they move through space. So, we think of this program as a way to really generalize skills. So it's not about focusing on a specific route, but it's about generalizing skills and being able to apply them anywhere you go. So some of that is increasing awareness of environmental information, definitely developing how to use all the auditory information out there, like traffic sounds, helping you to remain oriented, help with maybe traveling in a straight line and street crossings. Using that same auditory information to analyze intersections and determine when it's safe to cross. And then other skills, when we think of non-tactile skills, are developing an ability to do time distance estimation. Of course, our program too involves a lot of people who do have a guide dog goal. So we incorporate Juno exercises, Juno being the kind of guide dog simulation, and we apply those out there and how you're incorporating all that sensory awareness. Now, don't be fooled. We still would like to focus on really good cane skills because those are just as important with getting you about and getting you about safely and just reminding you what the importance of your mobility aid is for. So our program runs 7 days. Typically, there's 2 travel days and then active instructional days. And oftentimes now our programs incorporate a graduation ceremony because we really want to acknowledge the hard work that people have put into their program. What's really special about the program is we tailor it to an individual. They get to have one-on-one instruction with a certified O&M specialist. So they can anticipate to get up to 20 or more hours of just orientation and mobility. And I think when you compare that to what generally people get at a local agency, we get you pretty close. Again, going back to that flexible curriculum, we're kind of meeting clients where they're at. People are coming to the program with multiple types of skills and maybe already have in some independent travel. I would say, like, some of the program early in the first few days, there's some assessment, just so we get to know you better. But beforehand, we've always identified the goals that an individual may have and be able to get through those goals through the week. So we do a lot of check-ins. Definitely the first day, we're checking in, like, these are the goals that you said you wanted to cover. And then, the O&M instructor will additionally identify other O&M goals for you to kind of get you to the point that you want to be. So, some of those things too, like I mentioned, time distance, auditory information, basic street crossing skills, cane skills, intersection analysis. But we, you know, and too, some when I mentioned that there can be gaps, we want to be sure when it comes to orientation that you maybe have a better understanding of cardinal directions or clock face. Sometimes even like reviewing certain human guide techniques are really important and how to advocate for human guide. What's great about our program too, the primary focus is orientation and mobility, but our director, Mark Allard, is entirely supportive of thinking of the whole person. So we have been able to slowly incorporate additional services into our programs. And I think a lot of the programs now provide free audiology exams. It's just a basic audiology exam to just remind people the importance of their hearing, and kind of gauge where that's at. We always have our psychosocial support specialist available, Dr. Jason Dorsch. He's a doctor in and certified marriage and family therapist. Because we know what can come up with, just putting yourself maybe sometimes to what feels like a vulnerable position, having to learn new information and how that, how everything plays out throughout the week, plus anything that comes up with what's going on at home, family support, and moving forward. Additional services that it just depends on the program we may be able to provide is independent living skills and assistive technology training. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. And then, of course, we have a guide dog side of things. And really focusing on non-tactile ways to move about through space safely. I think another big thing that comes up is fear detection, recovering from fears, how to do that with your long cane, and how to do that, say, for someone who's interested in a guide dog. And those who are interested in a guide dog and they'd like to experience it, not only do we do that simulation of Juno, but we provide them with an experiential walk. Which I think is really fabulous. We tried to, I think some people have participated, like we have a guide dog experience days here on our California campus, and we have them in Oregon as well. But we get to do an experiential walk actually in downtown San Rafael. So I think it's really helpful to understand why people are learning the things they've learned throughout the week and how that applies to guide dog mobility. So you're incorporating like block by block travel, turns, and crossing streets and all the importance there while also, engaging with a guide dog. For those that may have already worked with a guide dog or might not be interested, we just continue to do more orientation and mobility work with them. I can tell you, we can certainly fill your day with orientation and mobility. So just so like a really brief schedule. Sunday is arrival day. Oftentimes because our organization, we're serving clients all over the country in Canada. Oftentimes people are flying in, but sometimes, again, our local Californians are going to be finding their way to campus. We usually make sure because we have our dedicated resident staff. You may be meeting with nursing, the resident advisors, getting an orientation to where you're staying, and all the meals are provided with us. Then Monday is if people are on the California campus, they meet our director of the program, Mark Gillard, as I mentioned. And we kind of hit the ground running and get going on the orientation of mobility, whether that's reviewing cane technique, reviewing your goals, things like that. So, and instruction continues throughout the week, Monday through Friday. A loose schedule is about 9 to 3:30, but as mentioned, we know the program is can feel really intense for some people. That's why we call it an immersion. It's an immersive experience, and so people are encouraged to speak up if they need breaks. There's no set curriculum or goals that everyone has to cover. Like I said, it's all about that individual need and goals. And so, we encourage people if you need to speak up, take a break, do so. And that's important to help you kind of get through the week. Kind of as we wrap up the week, we do what we call exit interviews. I keep on talking to Mark. I think we should give it a different name. It's just more about to really acknowledge the hard work that a client's put in. Review those goals, make sure we covered all the goals, and then make recommendations moving forward, how we're going to provide a report, which is really great for our program. We provide a very comprehensive report that we can send to each client, and they can review that as needed and refer back to that as needed. And then, some other important things after someone's graduated from the O&M program. We do have our support center staff give you a call and just check in on how things are going for everyone. And as I mentioned, for those people and those programs that have this, we do have graduation. And if people aren't if we don't have a graduation associated with it, we always acknowledge everybody virtually. So why did we create the O&M immersion program? Well, let's just start with how it affected guide dogs for the blind. Again, as I mentioned, we are known for providing guide dogs to clients. And I think in order to incorporate this program and really demonstrate why it's important for our clients, is one of the primary reasons for not qualifying for a guide dog is due to lack of sufficient O&M skills. There are so many things that are related to guide dog. There's the lifestyle, there's the husbandry, there's the motivation on having a guide dog, right? There's all these pieces to the pie that help someone maintain and have a good guide dog relationship. But one of the integral things, we have basic qualifiers is being able to demonstrate an independent travel route that occurs during a home interview. So, just as a few examples, just giving you some numbers and statistics, starting in fiscal year 2014, so this was a couple of years before we started the O&M immersion program, we had about 970 applicants. Out of the number of applicants, 43% were just generally not qualified due to a variety of reasons. And the percentage of those not qualified due to O&M was 28%. Let's fast forward. Our application numbers have stayed the same. The qualifications have changed a bit, but our most, re I would say in fiscal year 22, it was the it was 40% of people who did not qualify for guide dogs was due to insufficient O&M skills. And even just recently, we just had another tally, and now we're up to 54%. And that is just very, very concerning for us, because the less, people that qualify for a guide dog, the less people we're serving out there. Plus, not just those that are new to guide dogs, but even our own clients that have successfully worked with previous dogs and may be running into any concerns about that. So one of those biggest concerns is a lot of graduates have progressive vision loss, and how one travels when there's some reliable vision is different as that vision decreases. So with that, there's a loss of confidence, depression, anxiety comes up. We're an aging population, health implications could come about. There's just general anxiety about one's future and worrying about qualifying for a successor dog. Now, there's also at play the current state of O&M services in the United States and Canada. And we all know we're experiencing pretty significant shortages of O&M professionals. And I can think about interacting with quite a few clients and all the different stories they have. But to kind of summarize some of that, what's going on out there is, we know agencies are challenged by maintaining government funding. And in certain locations, they're, just keeping up with the cost of living and providing reasonable wages has been challenging. So the effects on that is O&M specialists at these agencies are having larger caseloads. And then you get maybe an overworked O&M professional. A lot of stress with that. You get clients that are being underserved because some agencies are having a hard time even keeping an O&M on staff. We know in the Bay Area locally, we've had a lot of changes with the Lighthouse, with their satellite locations. The Vista Center only has one O&M, and the VA agency, even though it's serving our veterans, they had a hiring freeze, right? So all this lack of funding. I think another effect that's been going on too is any of the preparatory programs that are preparing people to become orientation and mobility specialists. Their funding has changed and is shaping, I think, who is getting served. I would say, just even within the state of California, like Cal State LA actually receives more grants related to someone serving a school age population rather than the adults. So with that, oftentimes once someone's done with their program, they're going into the school system, and it's great for that population. But when we're talking about the adults and the adult population, we're in kind of dire straits on that one. And then just, I think the changes of how, even though this has been many years in going on with a voc rehab and definition of what qualifies for services, having a job goal. And then versus the OIB funding that's going on with agencies and how they distribute that and provide services. So even with people maybe getting O&M services that are lucky to do that, that doesn't mean they may be getting what they need. I just anyone who's been in the system has experienced blind rehab or historically and how different it has changed. Definitely recognize this. So instructional hours vary. Maybe someone can only see a person once every week, once every other week, once a month. We're talking about too, I think regions are bigger for O&M, so they're having to serve locations that are fairly remote, and having to get to someone can be challenging. Also, when it comes to the type of instruction, O&Ms are maybe teaching routes, not particularly generalized skills. And then, too, while agencies are trying to be creative with how they're providing lessons, sometimes it's been leading to group lessons, and that, and then it people lose out on that individual instruction. And I just like have to highlight that we're just so appreciative, like the whole reason why the O&M immersion program was, it was originally because of the guide dog goal, but we've evolved, and our board has really thought about the broader community and our commitment to empowering everyone. We want people to have more choice, more autonomy, and more confidence and more independence. So I can happily say that with our program, it's no longer an absolute requirement that someone has a guide dog goal. They might have an inkling towards a guide dog goal. They might not have none at all, but we're getting clients who are just not being served, period. One thing, I want to dispel any myths too is what we aren't. Now, I think we can do some really great things, but one, our program is only a week long, and while we can absolutely make progress with people, and always a change in confidence by the end of the week, the success of the program is really reliant on clients returning home and integrating those skills right away into their daily practice and getting out, practice, practice, practice. Sometimes an accelerated program doesn't fit certain learning styles, right? So having a lesson and then having a break, whether it's a week or two in between lessons, can really help people like to get time to absorb all the information, because we're trying to just provide as much information as possible and skills. So people don't tend to master the skills through our O&M immersion program, but they can certainly get better. And we are not a replacement for a comprehensive blind rehab program. We're hopeful we have these governmental systems in place, and that we want the community to keep fighting for and advocating for the type of services they deserve, which is those local services. I think ideally we think, if someone could come to our program with some O&M, that would be great. We're here to then provide them with a really comprehensive program. We want them to go home and still kind of have that local support with them. We know, again, this can't happen all the time, but that is, I think, the ideal world. And, I can say too, for sure, how we've done this and how Guide Dogs has done this program. So the program began in 2016. And we partnered with the Lighthouse in San Francisco, and then a couple of years later with the Earl Baum Center, and eventually those two locations merged. But with that, it helped us accomplish serving clients, and we absolutely thank them for that 10 years of partnership and mutual commitment to serve more clients. But this is kind of big news that as of July 1st, Guide Dogs for the Blind will no longer have an active partnership with these agencies. And I'm proud to say we've done a lot of behind the scenes work to really grow our own internal staff. And that includes, in 2020, Mark decided to hire an actual certified O&M specialist to work alongside him instead of the admin person. And about a year later is when I moved into the position from my guide dog mobility role. So in that sense, that I can go in and teach, and I can be one of those utilized to help teach clients. Then our board approved to add three new O&Ms. As some of you probably know, we have not just our California location, but we have our Oregon location, and we've added two new instructors up in Oregon who are running a regular cadence of classes up there every other week. And then we've just hired this past November another O&M specialist to work alongside me. The other exciting thing too we've added in the past couple of years is we are now Guide Dogs for the Blind is providing scholarships to those people who want to apply for the scholarship and become a certified O&M specialist. And for the past couple of years, we've only allowed the guide dog mobility instructor staff to apply for that. But now, just this year, a new feature is we've now opened it up to all guide dog staff. So we leave that open to they can attend any school. Of course, they're working with their manager on how the logistics work with going to school and still kind of maintaining their job. But it really kind of takes away some of that thought about the cost of going back to school. They aren't going to be working for us full time, but they can be coming in and out of their regular duties into the O&M immersion program and teaching. And then we also just we've had this going for a while. We have a robust group of on-call O&M specialists, and they combined help us with coming to our campus based programs and sometimes provide in homes. And those O&Ms are in LA, Vermont, Texas, Philly, and Chicago. So just some outcomes, just so you know where we're at now. We have graduated over 450 people at this point, and we're going to go a little bit higher this year. So with our 10 years of doing this, we've been able to serve that many clients. Last year too, with our internal growth, I think it's really helped. We graduated 74 clients, and this year we graduated 89 clients. And so Guide Dogs for the Blind feel like it's definitely doing what we can to assist and overcome the shortage of O&M services. We're, still wanting to improve the ability for those who are interested in a guide dog to qualify for the first time for a guide dog, or those retrains who want to requalify for a successor guide. We also, we have people coming in and are still working with their dog, and maybe they've had some vision changes. So we're doing our part to try to keep these teams together. And just as a broad stroke, too, just increasing confidence and increasing skills. So our current wait time, I'm proud to say, is around 4 months. Again, because of the growth, we've been doing really hard on getting the support of our board. We have been able to really bring our wait time down. And starting, like I said, in July 1st, we have a very consistent cadence of programs either on our Oregon campus and our California campus. And it's fantastic to just gain that additional support from our residence team. As I already mentioned, it's nursing staff, resident advisors, kitchen staff, and housekeeping. Can't forget the housekeeping. Keep the rooms all nice and tidy. And then again, another way we can serve clients for those that qualify is in-home training. So all of the instructors are eligible to go out and serve people in their home areas when that need is there. So basic O&M eligibility requirements. So Guide Dogs for the Blind just has their basic requirements that kind of fall under a lot of our applicants as one, just being able to have general independent living skills, be able to feed, clothe, and manage medications, be able to live away from home without requiring direct assistance, as well as function in a group setting in an adult learning environment, right? That, like I mentioned, that's not for everybody. Meet current Guide Dogs for the Blind medical and mental health requirements, and we have other admissions requirements in regard to legal blindness, felony convictions, substance abuse, diabetes, and seizure management. People can apply for the program online. We have our website, www.guidedogs.com. You could call our support center at 1-800-295-4050, and that staff can help someone apply over the phone. A phone consultation is completed, and then And then the admissions coordinator supports that person through the application process, and that usually involves gathering professional reports to support that. At this point in time, we don't do an in-person visit for our orientation and mobility applicants, although in some situations it is preferred to engage with a person in person and observe them moving about through space. So on occasion we can do that. Other just think people who can be the O&M immersion program might be good for those, again, like I mentioned, strongly motivated toward independent travel with a guide dog. Those that are unsure or still considering a guide dog but need O&M training. And now, like I said, those people that have no guide dog goal but have very limited or no access to O&M training. In fact, we've added an application question that says, have you looked into local services? So we want people to do their due diligence. Like I said, we have these programs that are supposed to be out there, that are supposed to serve the clients. And we want to see it kind of also helps us get a pulse on what's going on out there in certain regions. Have you looked into getting local services? So we want people to do that. If you are eligible for services, how long is the wait? So if it's going to be over 6 months, we certainly can move forward with an application. And maybe some of those people say, I'm not eligible for services. And so we can move forward with that application as well. Again, retrain applicants who may have difficulty qualifying for a successor dog. Any graduates or any person that might be experiencing changes in their vision and their O&M skills. And just those people, with sometimes we even have people who've applied for a guide dog, have qualified for our guide dog program, but they still want to improve their skills, especially focusing on that O&M. And that is about the presentation. It's just, when I think about sharing everything about the orientation and mobility program is, it's certainly, I think the biggest way we've gotten out there is through word of mouth. But it's great to also present in this way, to you guys at California Council of the Blind and other conferences, and within our own department, we go to different O&M agencies and provide an O&M seminar to talk more about guide dog mobility and our O&M immersion program. We have our website, and I talked about the application process, and yeah, I think this might be a good time that if anyone, I think with Deborah or Stephen, who might want to join
Even.
in on sharing their personal experience about the program, I would love to hear from them. And then we
Let's
can take questions too.
let Stephen go first. Give him about 2 to 3 minutes, please.
But yeah, no, honestly, Stephanie, you kind of mentioned everything. Honestly, I was just like, where can I start? Because she did really good. She pretty much explained everything about stuff that I was gonna talk about. Little things such as like, it's hard times right now, especially financially. Sometimes you might be like, well, I don't have the money to cover the cost to get to, some type of services like this. But the fact that, I can say every day I had a meal, where I stayed was, I felt very welcome since the moment I spoke to Stephanie with filling out the application. And just doing the whole program itself, it's a good like getaway. Not only that, but I could finally say like I got real life O&M instructor. 'Cause the only one I have ever experienced was through the school, but like she was mentioning, it's very limited. I was only getting it once a month for about 30 minutes. And I learned so many things. I could be here all day explaining it. I learned so many things. I learned that there's hundreds of canes. I did not know about that. I thought it was just your ordinary canes, but no, there's different grips, there's different tips. I was able to get connected with a low vision doctor through them also, which I thought was very incredible. I learned a lot of things about my vision. Just honestly, great program. I recommend it to anyone. I learned so much, and if I could do it again, I'd do it again.
Thanks, Steve, for your perspective. And Debbie is me.
I wanted to give a testimonial, but let's make sure if other people who don't know anything about it have questions first, if you could take me
Well,
last.
I want this is set up for you to give a quick testimony of like 2 minutes.
And by the way, I actually took that program too, by the way. So,
Mr. Joe Green.
yes, I have.
Okay, I mean, I was going to say, Stephanie, awesome. Thank you so much. This is Penny. And if you want to wait a few minutes, Debbie, that's fine with me. We have hands raised, I think. Is it Robert?
Yeah. Oh, and Joe, thank you for highlighting that you're on here. Since you're under the California Council the blind, I didn't realize.
I actually
Welcome.
went to
And
that.
my honor is Joe going to take it? I don't care.
No,
So.
you're on, Mr. Robert.
Okay, go
Joe
ahead,
will
Rob.
take it. Okay.
Go, Rob.
I'm Robert Acosta, and I'm very proud to say I'm the newly elected president of Golden State Guide Dog Handlers Incorporated. And boy, am I going to tell our program people about
Congratulations.
you, Stephanie. You're outstanding. If I may just share some experience, I've had 11 guide dogs. My first one, I'm not going to go over all 11. First two were guide dogs for the blind, an outstanding school. In
Two
those
minutes.
days, Stephanie, they took your cane. You know, it was, oh, that's how far back it was. But I can see, I say that anyone who uses a dog should know how to use a cane because the dog could get sick and so forth. I'm not going to go over all dogs, but I want to share this with you. My first dog, I was 18 years old, ready for UCLA, and I couldn't travel. My rehab counselor said, anyone who gets a guide dog's a fool. And well, I want you to go to the orientation center for a year, year and a half, and learn to be blind. I was 18. I qualified. I wanted to go to college in the fall. And I got what I call, I don't know how you'd rate it, Stephanie, instant mobility. In 1 month, I was flying around UCLA with my guide dog. I taught 37 years in the public schools of California with guide dogs. So my orientation, I can't cook, Stephanie. My wife does it. I mean, I admit it. Should I go? And then I was going to go into immersion because people wouldn't take me because I'm an older guy. But San Rafael said, no, you got to go to immersion. We even lost your file. We don't have it anymore. So I guess I'm saying my question is finally, is do I need orientation and mobility? I've had 11 dogs. I've traveled all over this country, run conventions with my guide dog. And that's my chosen mode of travel. Thank you.
Right. No, Robert, those are great. And you brought up a really great point. I think self-reflecting on just the importance of maintaining your long cane skills and not losing that comfort with traveling on your own. I like to think of the orientation and mobility immersion program as an opportunity, especially for guide dog clients, to really get to focus on themselves. And don't forget, you are very important. You're an important part of the team. In fact, you're the leader of the team.
Thank
So
you.
yeah, I would say too, I was around for those days when we'd say time to put your cane away once you come in and get a guide. But that is no longer the case. I know our guide dog program absolutely supports someone still keeping up with their cane skills, and we still encourage any of our clients who do currently travel with a guide dog and prefer that mode of mobility to just challenge themselves to get out and use that cane maybe once a week, even with their guide dog. So I would say yes. The other point, like, is to add on, yes, O&M is, I think, a lifelong skill. It's not a one and done, and you're just of course you can do, like I said, we get plenty of people who come in who travel independently already. But I think you'd be surprised. We have a breadth of knowledge of orientation and mobility, and we can find certain areas to just make you even better. So, yeah, I would advocate for that.
Stephanie, this is Penny, and I'm the president of CCCLV. I didn't get my guide dog from GDB, but They always told me to take a cane with you just in case. Always have your cane on you somewheres. And I kind of do that. I always have, but I don't have a, I just have an Identicane that carries easy in my backpack. So, you know, but I have it because I had a friend that her dog got hit. And her, they were hit by a car. And so if that happens, like Robert said, you may need your guide cane. And so it just made me hyper aware that you should always have your cane with you and keep up on your skills. So that was my red light, you know. Think of that, girl, when you go out walking.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you're just reinforcing that.
And I love your immersion program. I think it's awesome from what I hear. Thank you for having it. Thank your school for having it. I
Madam.
really like that.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, it is funny that I don't think guide dog schools thought they were going to be put in this position, and it's still very few, right? Leader Dogs actually was the first guide dog school to create more of a formal O&M immersion program. And for us, there's no competition when it comes to this. If you
No.
need more O&M
Right.
and you didn't get enough, say through us, we encourage people to also apply to the Leader Dog program, and vice versa. They'll
Right.
do the same. So, yeah.
Most guide dog schools interact a lot.
Yes.
So
It's changed a lot. I think that part's changed a lot too. I think due to the International Guide Dog Federation
Right.
having this.
Jamie
So.
has her
Jamie,
hand.
you. I was about to say, yeah. Jamie has her hand up, and
Okay, I think she has to leave. Right, Jamie?
there I go. Yeah, I am
Hey.
going to jump out here, but before I do,
Go right
you
ahead.
know, with the national shortage, and you guys and the other programmers doing everything they can to help us out here on the streets. Is there any information, or has there ever been any talk about reducing some of the education, or maybe even having, I don't know, a vocational type that just is O&M and not having to go through the higher education, special ed, master's programs? Because what is that? For somebody to start to finish, it's like, what, 6 years, 8 years? I don't even
Yeah,
know.
it would probably be about 6 years because, yeah, unfortunately, I think at this point, the only preparatory programs are everybody's getting a master's.
Right.
And there hasn't been a lot of talk about it, but it does end up being kind of a secondary career for some people. But it's a great thought. I think some people have asked that question as well, as when is one of these universities going to create an undergrad program rather than just a master's program?
Yeah, because if there was an undergrad, there would no be no shortage, I promise you that. Okay, guys. Well, thank you for coming. You guys all stay here, enjoy your questions, but I do gotta go for now.
Okay, bye,
Madam
Jamie.
President, could I
Okay.
I just want to make a comment. I very passionate about this program too. When I only had one guide up. I think I've spoken to you before too, Stephanie.
Yeah.
When I first went there, I was you know, I originally was partially sighted, a high partial, so I never took mobility. So when I was interested in getting a guide, Mark recommended me, and what was important to me, not just all which what Stephanie said, but because I was interested in getting a guide that that we have dinner, we mingle with those who has either had a guide dog or who's getting a guide dog. So I felt that was so important, so I can even talk to them as well. I cannot say anything bad about that program. It's just the greatest.
That's great. And Joe, thank you for highlighting that. I think that's even more reason why part of us wanting to just keep our programs on our campuses, and having just a majority of them happen there is that camaraderie and peer support that people get between both programs. Having a guide dog program there, having the O&M clients be able to speak to that, just firsthand have that experience of a guide dog class. So thank you for highlighting that. Debbie, I think I want you to talk next.
I really want to give my testimonial, if that's okay, and there
Yes,
aren't a bunch of other
please.
questions.
Okay. Time for that.
Okay, so, first of all, I work at a community college. I've worked there 25 years, and I am the only blind person who walks around the campus. The other blind students, and I've seen about 14 blind students in my 25 years, they all ride the shuttle for the physically limited. And I find that so sad because I only ride that shuttle if I need to be on time somewhere and I'm not sure where it is. I walk all over the campus and I'm 69 and I have arthritis. So with that perspective, I've really been promoting this program to my students. I know two of them have done the program. And I want to tell you that I thought of myself as someone with really good O&M skills. And then when I turned 60, I noticed I was starting to get really disoriented and I couldn't figure out why. I thought it was menopause, and it turned out it was hearing loss. And so once I got hearing aids, I felt a little better, but I still felt really scared to cross busy streets. So when Mark Gillard presented to this program a couple of years ago, he presented to CCB about the program. I asked him, I said, okay, I have good O&M skills, but I'm scared to cross streets because I have hearing loss. Is this program appropriate for me? And he said, absolutely. And I cannot tell you how much I learned when I went there, because the last time I had O&M, I was 19. It was 50 years ago. And so, traffic has changed. All sorts of things have changed. And the person who worked with me one-on-one helped me really understand when I could safely hear and when I couldn't. And that was really powerful because now I know when I get to an intersection, whether or not I'm going to be able to safely cross. And also this intersection analysis, I've never learned that in mobility. And so I'm able to hear well enough to do intersection analysis, which to me also was very powerful. And I'm on my seventh guide dog. I feel very confident using a guide dog, but now I feel like if I need to find the light rail platform and I'm crossing the street with my dog, I can just, heel the dog and use my cane. And just last week, I was on campus and I had to go to a new building that had recently been finished. And so, of course, I didn't know where it was. And we're walking along and my dog stopped. And I thought, you know what? That's not a flight of steps. I think that's just shrubbery. And I got out my cane and sure enough, it was a bunch of shrubbery. And there are a lot of places like that where it's not a flight of steps. You don't want to step down, right? And so being able to use my cane to make sure my arc is perfect, all that stuff I learned in your program, and it was absolutely wonderful. And at the same time, we had another person who was very young, who had no confidence at all. She was lost in the hotel. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad she's going to be in this program because she really needs to build up her confidence. So you guys work with all different abilities, and I'm really grateful. And I'm sorry I yammered on so long.
You did fantastic, Debbie. Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great,
Awesome.
Debbie. This is Stephanie again, and
Okay.
thank
Stephanie, I
you.
want to give you kudos because Bakersfield, where I'm from, we lost some of our mobility instructors. We have one, and he's with the schools. He isn't even for the adults. He's just with the schools. Our others have moved out of state or retired. But thankfully, one of the members of our chapter is going to school for mobility instructor. Right now, he goes to San Francisco every weekend. He'll
I
be
probably
coming
know
soon. Yeah. It's Gio Fonseca.
Gio, yeah.
Yeah, Gio Fonseca. Yeah, his wife is our president. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if this got mentioned in the bio, but as soon as I was done with my program, I decided, because I really appreciate mentoring, so I stayed on as much as possible to be a teacher's assistant for the program, and then they lured me in, and I ended up being a part-time faculty lecturer for the O&M program for 2 years. But doing that with guide dogs, it's a lot of work. So I went back to just TAing. It's a little less responsibility, but I still get to have that interaction and meet the new O&Ms that are out there.
Yeah, he's going to be really good. I mean, he's not close to, he's still got his, what do you call it? The where he has to go and work with kids, so many hours working with that.
He's
And he's
just
got,
finishing up the program. In fact, they're
yeah.
all coming to visit Guide Dogs for the Blind on Friday.
Yay.
Is an important thing because they don't get a lot of exposure related to guide dog mobility. But on that too, I was just thinking, with everybody bringing up that using their long cane, having guide dog mobility, I think the other important piece that we like to advocate for is that everyone has a choice and they can choose their mobility aid. And I think that's why I'm really grateful. The reason why we had such a strict, you need to have a guide dog goal in the beginning is because we only had so many resources. We only had so many instructors to be able to provide this program. But again, now through the hard work that Mark's put into building the program, we've been able to expand that, and that's why we can serve more people because we know ultimately in the end we want people to be able to make a good choice for themselves.
Thank you. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
All members of CCCLV need to go to the board meeting. Sorry, it's an announcement. I know. And it's been sent out by Amy. It should, Jamie, it should be in your emails if you don't have the information for the room. Thank you all for being here. You've really are did an awesome job. And thank you, Debbie and Stephen, for your comments and Joe.